We began a new series of sermons entitled Come Holy Spirit, as Blake introduced that series last week. And this morning we look at the first chapter of the book of Acts. So we've been working throughout the Lenten season and the Easter season through John's gospel, answering the question, who is this man, Jesus? And this morning we shift to Acts and Luke's second book in the New Testament, which is often entitled in your Bibles the Acts of the Apostles. It probably should be more accurately called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But Luke is a historian. He's detailed. He gives good facts and good evidence throughout the Gospel of Luke for who Jesus is. And as we turn to Acts, he reminds the person who many believe was his patron, the person who afforded Luke the ability to have the time to record the life of Jesus and the life of the early church and the impact that the Holy Spirit had on what was to become the Christian faith and the church that we know today. Before we turn to the first chapter of Acts, beginning at the first verse, would you join me as we pray? Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful that it communicates your truth to us. I pray that each of us might have hearts that are fertile ground for your word to take deep root in us, that your word might transform us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, give us eyes and ears to hear what you would have for us. And my prayer is that in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room might be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts 1, beginning at verse 1, we'll go through verse 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky as he was going. Then suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, we could do a bit of a modern-day social experiment if this afternoon we all decided to go out in a rather public place and just stand and look up at the sky and see how long it took for somebody to come up and go, "Are you okay?" That's how this scene that Luke retells ends with the disciples looking up at the sky. Last week, Blake posed a three-pronged sermon. He said there was a problem, there was a promise, and there was peace. And I think most of Scripture fits into that really good rubric. The disciples were very, very aware of the problem, right? It gives me great comfort when I see the humanity and the little bit of denseness among the disciples sometimes, because they didn't always get it. And probably since people saw them standing there together looking up at the sky, probably still thought they didn't get it. But they were standing with, for them, what would have been another problem. They were kind of used to this problem because they were there when Jesus was arrested and he left them. They were there when he was crucified and was declared dead. They were there when they heard that the tomb was empty. And now, they're there having just watched a cloud envelop him and rise into the sky. I would probably, if I were there, said, that's really not a problem. And Luke says, to lead up to that ascension of Jesus returning to his rightful place, the throne room of heaven, we recited in the Apostles' Creed this morning that we believe he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's a pretty good seat. But what were the disciples to do? He gave them a clue, right? He said, first of all, stay in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave. Because in a few days, you're going to get a gift from the Father. A gift of power. And he said, John baptized with water. The Holy Spirit is going to baptize you with power. And then he said, in response to a question, which is actually a pretty good question, it shows that the disciples had read to them in some cases and understood the prophets, the writings of the prophets in what we call the Old Testament, in the Hebrew scriptures. Because the prophets time and time again said that when the Spirit of God came down, it would mark the restoration of the kingdom of God. That in their minds was Israel, because that was God's people. So they said to Jesus, so does this mean you're ready to restore the kingdom in Israel? And Jesus says, don't worry about that. That's not for you to worry about. The time, the place, the manner, that's up to the Father and it's under his authority. But here's what I do want you to do. Here's what I do want you to worry about. Here's your job. Go into Jerusalem. Go into all of Judea. Go into all the earth and be my witnesses. Be my witnesses. That's your job. I had a friend in seminary, and she was getting a degree not so that she could be a pastor, but so that she could continue the work that she and her husband do, and that is to work with Christian organizations on matters of governance. Doesn't that sound like a kick in the pants there? It's like being a parliamentarian professionally. Woo! But Deborah and her husband traveled all over the world helping Christian organizations who, if you've been on the session of many churches or on the leadership boards, you know, sometimes we need some help with governance. And Deborah, in just sharing with her fellow students, said, you know, I travel so much, and what I really miss is playing with my grandkids. And somebody said, well, what do you like to play? And she said, well, my grandson is huge into Star Wars. And I have bought him every action figure and every accoutrement that comes with that. And he's set. And he always asks me, he said, Grandma, play Star Wars with me. And I love to sit on the floor with him and to play. The problem is he understands Star Wars and I don't. And he knows what the characters are supposed to do and how they're supposed to act. And quite frankly, I just enjoy being with him, and I'll let my mind wander, and I'm not following along with his script. And there are times he'll get frustrated with me, and he'll yell, Grandma, be your guy! And she said, the problem is, I don't know how to be my guy. But I believe as Jesus ascends to his rightful seat at the right hand of God, he opens up the ability for each of us to be his man or his woman. Because as he ascends, the disciples, I hope, as they stood there looking at then an empty sky, remembered that he said he was going to send the gift of the Father in the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's when the Holy Spirit comes down that we truly can be the men and the women of God. I would have been a little intimidated, I think, when Jesus said, this is how you're going to be my guy. You're going to go into Jerusalem. You're going to go back where I told you not to stray from, to where your families are. And you're going to be my witnesses. Now, we know that witnesses play a key role in our legal system, right? We don't have to watch a whole lot of crime dramas to realize witnesses are key. And if you're a good witness, what you do is you tell what you have seen. Jesus says, to be my man or my woman, you need to go tell what you have seen about me to your family. You need to go be my witnesses to your neighbors, to everybody you encounter in Jerusalem. And then you need to go beyond. You need to go to Judea and Samaria. And then you need to go to the ends of the earth. To tell others about me. Now, as Presbyterians, that scares us to death, right? We would like to pay somebody to do that. But Jesus didn't say, by the way, train some people, pay them to tell others about me. He said, your job is to go and to tell, to be witnesses for me. And you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God to embolden you and to go with you and to guard you and to guide you. He didn't say, I expect you to be me. I expect you to rise from the dead. But before you get there, change water into wine, because that makes you really popular. He didn't say, go find everyone who's lame and heal them, although the power of the Spirit would enable that in the early church, and we see that recorded in Acts. Jesus said, now here it is, go tell. Go be my witnesses. Tell your story. Your story of being my guy or my woman. And you will have power in that story. Is that how you envision your life as a follower of Jesus today? Do you wake up and go, that's my job? That's my job. Today I'm going to be a witness. And it might be that in the morning you're going to go to the airport and you're going to get on a plane and you're going to fly somewhere else to work this week. Guess what? Your job when you're there as a follower of Jesus is to be his witness. So it's when the flight's delayed and the poor gate agent doesn't know any more about it than you do, you extend some grace. It might be that when you're in your clinic this week and you have to give somebody some hard news, you do it with the kindness and the grace of Jesus, showing them that empathy and that love. It may be that on the way home, you do a simple thing of asking the waitress what her name is. But when we take seriously what it means to be Jesus guy or Jesus woman, wherever we find ourselves, the Spirit will open up opportunities for us to powerfully share our witness of Jesus' grace in our lives. And that's our job. It's easy to say, well, that's Blake's job, that's my job, that's Amy's job. But if we do our jobs the way we're called to do them, we are equipping and encouraging and resourcing you to be able to tell your story and to be Jesus, man or woman, wherever you find yourself. And we can do that, each and every one of us, because of the power that comes down as Jesus ascends. It's the power of the living God that dwells in us and works through us. And it binds us to the one whose story we tell. Jean Purgeen was a Catholic nun in Louisiana. She was often referred to as Sister Jean, but the Sister Jean that most of us think about now was the nun who cheered on Loyola basketball. This was before Sister Jean Baptiste. This was Sister Jean Purgeen. Her call to ministry in Louisiana was to work primarily in prisons. And she went to death row to minister to those there in Louisiana. There was a movie, Dead Man Walking, which was inspired by her life. But Sister Jean tells a story of sitting in a small room across from a man who was hours away from going to the death chamber. And she said, I could tell the burden was heavy. And he had deep questions about life and death and life after death. And she said, I looked at him and I said, you need a priest. I'm just a nun. And she said, what he said to me changed my life and my ministry. Because she said, he looked at me in the eye and he said, no, I don't need a priest. I need you. I need you. You see, Sister Jean, in the words and the plea of that man hours from execution was, be your woman. Be your woman because I need to hear about Jesus right now. Are you willing to be Jesus man? Are you willing to be Jesus woman? Wherever you find yourself and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God who empowers us to have the words and the person of Jesus as our witness. Somebody was Jesus man or woman for you. Will you be faithful and allow the power of the Holy Spirit, which will celebrate coming down and indwelling in Jesus' people next week at Pentecost? But will you be that one? I often picture sitting with Jesus. And it must be so frustrating for him to deal with me because I get distracted and I lose track. And I know he wants to yell, come on, be your God. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and working through us, we can be God's man and God's woman wherever we find ourselves. And we will fulfill his last command to his disciples. Be my witnesses everywhere you go. May we live into the power of that Spirit. With that message of transformation that will change this world.